includes the Magic Millions at the Gold Coast as well. Other big news there from Neville Bell is what he was saying about the situation with Keurig. And we spoke to Rob Heathcote, who was very vocal on a RaceNet article, and then followed that up with our chat during the week about how racing is from an integrity standpoint in Queensland. And I'm pleased to say that Ross Barnett is given his time to come on and have a right of reply. He is, of course, the Commissioner of Keurig up in Brisbane. Ross, I appreciate your time this morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Ross, they're pretty damning comments from Queensland's most successful trainer, 10-time Group 1 winner Rob Heathcote, who basically says that Keurig is not doing its job, that cheating is running rampant in Queensland. What's your response to that?
Look, obviously Rob's a very experienced and successful trainer. He's got a passion for level playing fields, which I respect. We have a good relationship. He's raised these issues with me previously. I certainly don't take any personal offence to his comments. He wants a level playing field for all honest trainers, and so do we. And we meet regularly with the APA Queensland branch to discuss this and a wide range of issues. But I'm happy to talk in some more detail about, you know, the sort of testing pressure we have.
Do you take on board his comments? Do you believe that there is an underlying issue with the integrity of Queensland racing?
Look, I certainly respect his comments, and I respect his right to make them and to be forthright. The trainers are a very important stakeholder group in Queensland, so if they have concerns about our performance, that is a concern, absolutely.
Rob basically said that he believes that milkshakes or the TCO2 level and horses are being milkshaked, to use that term, prior to a number of races, and that the Keurig testing regime is not good enough to catch those. Do you believe that that is the case, and do you believe that you need to improve that pre-race testing?
Well, look, I'm happy to give you some facts and figures, which hopefully will put a little bit of context around the conversation. We have responsibility for the three codes of racing, as you know. When we took over from the previous administration, there were about 17,400 tests done a year. We've increased that to 20,000 approximately across the three codes. So our testing pressure is higher, and the numbers we test are higher across each of the three codes. Now, TCO2 testing is obviously just one part of our integrity framework, but what I can tell you is that this year we have got a record number of positive tests, okay? So not only are we conducting more tests, but we're actually catching more people cheating across the three codes. So if you want to talk about activity and results, this year has been a record year, and bearing in mind there's a lag in results and we've still got 5 weeks to go, and we're already well above what we did last year. So I think that hopefully will give people confidence in the industry and outside the industry that the work we're doing just in testing is certainly bearing fruit. And we do a lot of other things, obviously, apart from race day testing.
So Rob has said that as a trainer, and he said looking at Stewart's reports and being a trainer on the ground, that he has noticed personally that there has been a decline in the pre-race testing, especially at the metropolitan meetings. Is that something that you counter? Is Rob incorrect in that?
No, look, what I'd say is, look, pre-race testing has not been stopped at all this year, but there are peaks and troughs in activity throughout the year where, for instance, we have more intense pre-race testing around the major carnivals, and you will see from now on the pre-race testing will ramp up again. We've got a testing and sampling strategy which sets targets across the three codes for the year, and a proportion of those are dedicated to pre-race TCO testing across the state, and Thoroughbred gets the biggest slice of that pie. But yes, there has been a slight decrease in the last couple of months, but it will ramp up again, and we will meet our annual targets.
Why has there been a decrease in the past couple of months?
Well, there can be a range of factors. It's not nothing to do with budget, but it can be capacity at the RSC, the Racing Science Centre. You know, they're getting new equipment sometimes. They have to commission this new equipment. That can be a slight disruption. But as I said, we have a target throughout the year for this testing, and we will meet that target.
Well, it's concerning that there's been a dip, I suppose, if Rob is saying that he believes people are breaking the rules and the testing hasn't been as strong as what it has in the past. Is that something that happens every year, or is this a year that there's been a dip in those recent testing numbers because of COVID?
Oh, look, there probably has been a slight dip in the last couple of months. But as I say, we work on yearly targets for PCO2 and across the coast, and we will meet those. And like I say, not only are we keeping our activity up to the usual annual level, but we are getting better results, more hits than ever before across each of the three codes. And as I say, it's sadly a record-breaking year. So I think, you know, that's the positive, that our testing regime is producing results. We're catching the cheats, which is the area of concern.
Is it a positive, or does it just prove what Rob Heathcote's saying, that cheating is running rampant in Queensland?
No, I just think that what it proves is that our testing strategy is working, and the point of doing testing is to drive voluntary compliance, but also to catch people who are cheating. And the fact that we are catching people, the numbers of PCO2 positives we get are fairly low. But overall, there are other positive tests for other drugs, and that's what we're finding. So in terms of are we active in the integrity front, are we active in the testing front? Yes, we are, and we obviously do a lot more than just pre-race testing. We post-race test every animal. We do no-notice stable visits, including on race days. We do surveillance operations. We do human sampling of jockeys. Far more is going on than some participants would know, and that's understandable. We also do out-of-comp testing before the big carnivals. We do saturation pre-race testing across the big carnivals. You know, we've caught trainers in the act on race day on a number of occasions across the state. So we don't rely solely on our testing strategy to impose integrity standards on the industry.
Just on certain cases, we've been watching on in bewilderment in Victoria about what the situation is in regards to Mark Curry and Ben Curry, and how it's been dragging on for so long. And Neville Bell just mentioned it then, the frustration of why cases are taking so long in Queensland. Why is that the case? And is it a situation where there needs to be an overhaul of the legal proceedings in regards to racing in Queensland with these cases and their time length?
Oh, look, I think it's very well documented that when the Commission was set up in our Act, there was an appeals process put in, or of an internal review followed by an external review by QCAT. That's the model that's laid out in the Act, and that's the model that we've got to follow. The government's currently undertaking a review of the Act, and I know there have been a number of submissions from industry seeking to change and reform that process. If there are changes, that's obviously a matter for government, not for us. But we have worked consistently with all of the industry groups for the time that we've been going to try and streamline the process and make it as fair as we possibly can. But I'm on the record as saying we would all like it to be done quicker than what it is at the moment.
In regards to the Mark Curry situation, I think he had 16 counts of breaking the rules, and a lot of them were captured on video, yet he was only found guilty or on two of those charges. Is there a disconnect? Is there a problem with actually concluding these stages and getting guilty verdicts?
Look, I don't want to talk about individual cases for obvious reasons. Some of them are still ongoing, people that you've mentioned. But you say that we have to work with the QCAT system, and we do that, and that's often a matter of engagement with other parties, or occasionally we go to a full hearing, and we just got to work within that system, and we do.
Same situation recently has occurred with Shane Graham in the harness code, where he was charged with two counts of match fixing, yet those charges have been dropped as well. Is that, again, a blight on Keurig?
Well, he was charged by the Queensland Police, by the Racing Crime Squad, and they were criminal charges, not breaches of the rules of racing. Our charges preferred by the QPS are done quite independently by them, quite independent of us, and they're subject to the usual process of the criminal justice system. So they're not decisions or breaches prosecuted by us.
You've had a decorated career in policing and you've moved into this role in racing, and there has been calls from some of the leading trainers in that recent RaceNet article to say that it should be run by the stewards, not police officers. What do you say to that?
Yeah, look, I read those comments, and, you know, in the previous administration, the stewards, the vets, the sample collection officers, the integrity team, the Racing Science Centre, they all did exactly the same as what they're doing now. There was going to be a change to the current arrangements and to go back to the previous model. All of those people would just transfer back and do the same job they're doing now. So I'm not sure how there would be an instantaneous transition to greater integrity or animal welfare, because all of the people at the coalface do the same job they've always done, and I certainly don't interfere in that.
Do you think you've lost the confidence of the racing industry, the participants?
Well, look, everyone will have their own opinions on that, but what one measure that I take is we have a report something hotline and we have a relationship with Crime Stoppers. Now, every year we get in excess of 700 reports or complaints from people wanting us to investigate. And of those who identify themselves, about 75% of those who call in who identify themselves are racing industry participants. So I take a fair degree of comfort from that, that people who call in have confidence that we will actually do something about their complaints or their information. Contrast that to when we first started. The IIT, when they came across to us, had about 15 investigations in total on the go. Every year, our integrity investigation team completes well over 200 investigations. So there are certainly plenty of people out in the industry, perhaps a silent majority, who have confidence in us and who understand that we will investigate their complaints and information competently and quickly.
So, Ross, now that these complaints have been put on the table so publicly by a group of the leading trainers in Queensland, will you seek to sit down with them privately, and will you look to change any of Keurig's processes moving forward?
Look, my phone is always on and my door is always open, and I do frequently meet with trainers' representatives and individual trainers as and when required, and I'm more than happy to meet with any or all of the people who were quoted in this article. We've actually taken on board their...
But you should be doing that, though, shouldn't you, Ross? You should reach out to them now, not wait for them to call you, don't you think?
As I said before, pre-COVID, we met regularly with the ATA on this basis. And as I said before, I've spoken to Rob about these issues before, but I'm more than happy to do so again. I lost the last part of the question.
Will you change anything moving forward? Do you think you need to change any of your processes?
Look, we are always, we're never complacent. That's why, you know, since we've started, we've engaged more race day stewards, more vets. We've increased the size of the IIT. We've created an intelligence cell. We've engaged an experienced commercial betting analyst. You know, we're always looking to improve our work. Our sampling and analytical strategy, we review that every 3 months. So we're always looking at the trends. I only spoke to a new head scientist this week and approved him to buy more equipment to increase the level of our TCO2 testing. So that was already in the works before this issue emerged. So we're always looking to improve our capacity and our strategy. And I'm always happy to listen to concerns and complaints from anyone inside the industry.
Ross, I appreciate you coming on this morning and answering some of those questions.
Pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.